puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Gordon Goldsborough joins us now to warm us up on this cold, frigid day. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, it's cold, Nadia. Right? Ooh, yeah, it's chilly out there.
We need to defrost. Okay, so what are we talking about this week?
Well, I had an opportunity recently to tour a vacant building on Princess Avenue here in Winnipeg in the Exchange District. It has a long history connected to electricity and immorality. Its first use, starting in 1919, was as an electrical showroom for Winnipeg Hydro.
I'm so curious about the immorality part. But before we get there, Winnipeg Hydro, that's not the same as Manitoba Hydro, right?
Correct. They were separate companies until 2002 when they merged. And in fact, Winnipeg Hydro preceded Manitoba Hydro in the sort of the timeline. It started out originally as the Winnipeg Hydroelectric System. And the name, I guess because it was a bit long and unwieldy, they shortened it to just Winnipeg Hydro. It was created back in 1911 by the city of Winnipeg. In other words, it was a municipal utility, and its purpose was to operate the newly constructed Pointe-du-Bois hydroelectric generating station on the Winnipeg River. A transmission line from Pointe-du-Bois brought power to Winnipeg, to a building in Point Douglas, and from there it was delivered to two substations for distribution to homes and businesses all over the city. Winnipeg Hydro provided electricity at a much lower cost than had previously been the case. Winnipeg quickly became what you could have called the electrical city, and it could boast the cheapest power rates in North America. But there was a problem.
Uh-oh, what was the problem?
Well, just like today, as vehicles start to transition to electricity, in the early 20th century, people had already made big investments in other fuels, and this was an impediment to rapid adoption of electrical alternatives. In other words, you know, if you had to buy an electric car today, well, you have to get rid of your gas car, and maybe you've put a lot of money into it. Well, the same way, if you had, say, a wood-burning stove for your home, you know, you wouldn't want to throw away a perfectly good stove in favor of one powered by electricity. Thrifty Winnipeggers, and of course we are legendary for our thrift, had to be convinced of this advantage. So in 1919, with the First World War just ended and prosperity returning to Canada, the time seemed right to flaunt the advantages of electrical power. Hence, the showroom on Princess Avenue, its purpose was to show people all the fancy new electrical gadgets that were becoming available. And to encourage them to buy, they offered them a payment plan that they could pay for their new toys over 2 years.
What did that showroom look like?
Well, we don't have a whole lot to judge it by. We know that it was a huge space. It was like over 6,000 square feet. It had terrazzo floors. It had oak-trimmed walls. But, you know, we don't have a whole lot of photos. There are a few that I've seen. And basically what they show is that every electrical convenience known to man was spread out throughout this space. There were two large windows looking onto the street. And I suppose the purpose there was to offer passers-by tantalizing views of the wonders inside. The whole idea was to get people wanting to buy electrical appliances. And so if we look, for example, at the advertisements in the historical newspapers, we see all sorts of items on offer. There were electric room lamps, electric washing machines, vacuum cleaners, refrigerators, ranges, flat irons, curling irons, space heaters, waffle makers, coffee percolators, heating pads. Whew, wow, there was lots of things that you could now use electricity for. So you want to buy electric appliances, don't you?
I could do with some of those heating pads right now, actually. How successful was this showroom?
Oh, incredibly so. I found a newspaper ad from 1922, and it claimed that by that time, Winnipeg had the largest number of electric ranges in service of any city in the world. Like, that's incredible. In time, of course, the sales volume declined as the market became saturated. Now everybody had an electric range. Well, then nobody was buying one. It was really not necessary to have this sort of incentive as in the form of a showroom, at least until after the Second World War, because that's when the same sort of advertising was aimed at rural Manitobans. Because, of course, after the Second World War, farm electrification occurred and they needed to promote all those same appliances again to all those new owners that had electric service that they wanted to use the power for.
What happened to the Hydro showroom?
Well, the building did continue in use as office space for Winnipeg Hydro right into the 1970s. And that gorgeous showroom, you know, the one with the terrazzo floors and the oak trim and all that, it was converted into a vehicle maintenance garage. And it was used then through the 70s into the early 80s by the City of Winnipeg's signals department. They were the ones that operated the traffic signals around the city. The large doors, they cut into the brick walls. Like if you look at the building today, there's great big doors on either side, the north and the south sides. They were cut into it. So you could basically drive a vehicle through where they had once displayed appliances. The two big windows looking onto the street, the ones that had enticed people to buy, well, they were covered over with solid walls. So if you entered the front door of the building, well, basically you found yourself in a small enclosed room, and the only thing that was there was a staircase up to the second floor. So it was really quite a different experience.
Now, you mentioned earlier some kind of connection with immorality. Mm-hmm. I am so curious what that could be. Tell us about it.
Okay. Well, in 1983, after the building had been used for a while by the signals people, it was taken over by the Winnipeg Police Service. The main floor continued to be used for vehicle maintenance. I guess they did routine oil changes and things on the police vehicles. But the second floor became home to the Vice Squad. In other words, they dealt with people who had various, sort of illicit sort of run-ins with the law. The police occupied the building until around 2016, when the newly renovated post office on Smith Street was opened. And of course, everybody moved over there from the public safety building, which of course has now been demolished. Everybody was consolidated over in that new building. And to my knowledge, the old Hydro showroom building has been vacant ever since after the police moved out. It has been used occasionally for film and video projects, and it remains the property of Manitoba Hydro.
And you were able to tour it.
Yes, I was. I was very fortunate. A few weeks ago, I had a chance to see the inside of the building. It is surprisingly large, and it took us over an hour to see the entire inside. You know, on the main floor, there were very few reminders of that original use, except for those terrazzo floors. I keep mentioning them, but they were really quite attractive. Unfortunately, well, not so attractive anymore. They've been cut and they've been patched. I guess because over the years they've made various, changes to the building and they needed to cut through the floor to do it. On the second floor, well, there's almost nothing original from the building. It's been basically renovated into office space that looks like something from the 1980s. The greatest number of original elements, if you want to see evidence of that original 1919 building, well, they survive in the basement. There's actually quite a lot down there that looks original. Also in the stairwells between the floors, some of the railings, for example, look original. And there actually is a tiny third floor where there are some original windows and walls. There were some assorted furnishings and electrical wiring scattered about, probably left behind by the film production crews. But there were also quite a few reminders of that former use of the space by the police.
How so?
Well, on the second floor, we found several small rooms whose doors had one-way glass looking inside. I suppose that's so somebody could observe the interviews being held. On the door on the outside, there was a decal showing a pistol with a large red X through it, the kind that says, you can't do something. And I presumably that was meant to say, you can't take handguns inside the room. Well, of course, I wouldn't take my handgun into the room. And inside there was a small table bolted to the floor. I guess that was where, they would interview people who had been apprehended for, various immorality reasons. But most striking to me, there was a washroom near those interview rooms where the toilet had no means to be flushed except for a handle in the outer hallway. And I thought about this for a while. The only thing I could think of was that they wanted to prevent people from flushing incriminating evidence down the toilet.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So if you said, oh, officer, I need to go and use the toilet. Okay, go use the toilet. And if they went to try to flush some of their stuff down, well, they couldn't because the officer would do it out in the hallway.
Right.
And then the other little clue was that down in the basement, there was an exercise room, the door of which was labeled Bad Boys Fitness Center. And I'm thinking this probably was a nod to the theme music from that reality TV show Cops. You know, bad boys, bad boys, what you gonna do? So there we have it. You know, a vacant building with an odd combination of uses that related originally to the promotion of electricity and later to various acts of immorality.
Fabulous, Gordon. Thank you so much for that. I did like your rendition as well. What's up for next week?
We're going to visit a lonely, hard-to-reach monument that reminds us of the name of the municipality in which we find it, in the southwest corner of Manitoba.
Gordon, thank you so much.
See you next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.